This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Welcome to Member Care Media. I'm Ted Siemens. Admitting you have an addiction can be devastating to your family and to your ministry. Today we begin a series of conversations Scott Hollinger had with David and Susie Snyder. Susie is the Member Care Director of CMF International, an organization which places Christian workers internationally in order to serve in ministry. CMF placed David and Susie in Kenya due to their unique blend of abilities. David is a pastor, while Susie is a physician. Adjusting to life in Kenya, the Snyder family struggled in ways that many of us can relate to. However, David also struggled with migraine headaches. When the family settled in Kenya, the headaches increased in frequency and intensity. David's need for medication to cope with the increasingly frequent migraine headaches eventually became an addiction to prescription medications. As we begin, Susie talks about some of the surprises that met them in Kenya.
One of the surprises we had was we came in with two different professions and two different skill sets, me being a medical health professional and Dave being an ordained minister. And we were under the assumption that we could both serve using our experience and skills. Our team also had this assumption. In fact, they placed us in a location after our language learning time where we could oversee clinics, and then Dave could also be involved in daily work and teaching. What we didn't factor in or take into consideration was that the supportive spouse role is something that we later came to call it, that we hadn't factored in who was going to do the homeschooling and who was going to do the laundry and the cooking and cleaning and all those things that to keep the household going. Whereas we thought each of us could work full time we had kind of, said teasingly and kind of bragging to our supporters, two for the price of one. It didn't work out that way. It's pretty much impossible to try to have both spouses working full time on the field of service. So we ran into a lot of bumps along the way, both trying to fulfill roles of previous workers before us. I was replacing the doctor who had been there before. Dave was in a place of replacing the field worker who had been doing the teaching and village work before. And we thought we could manage these two full-time jobs and children and a home and homeschool. And it didn't work. So within about 6 months of being in our work site, we had to reevaluate and even go back to our team and even to the point of rewriting the job descriptions. And at that point, Dave had a critical decision to make in terms of how he was going to be involved and what my role would be as well.
Anything to add, Dave?
But I do recall, yes, into our first term of service, having to reevaluate our roles and say, this is what we see. You know, I also remember that that medicine was viewed, you know, by some that had preceded us as a necessary evil at best, at worst, something that would detract from, you know, the primary task of being there. And we really had to change that. In other words, we found the Maasai nurses that were working in the clinics, had quite an outreach legitimately of themselves, and yet were not feeling that or sensing that kind of support. So we redefined it to be ministry and valid one of compassion and reaching out in the name of Christ. So that was kind of a shift as well. And when we let it be known, if medicine was not seen as a legitimate form of ministry, then we probably needed to find another avenue of service. They're definitely affirmed what we were doing and the legitimacy of that.
I would imagine then experiencing this did cause a level of stress for you as a couple and as a family as you and the organization were trying to define all of this?
Definitely. It was kind of a wake up for us. We had to define ourselves, how we would, reach out, how we would divide up, you know, the roles that we had. We just had to make sure that our team was supportive of that and understanding. And we had regional small groups that would meet together for fellowship and encouragement. And that was the place where we really needed to just clarify what we were doing and get that kind of feedback. So it was nice to have that organization. In other words, we knew we had permission from the folks back home to be creative with our roles. We just needed to kind of find that out as well on the field. So we did get some good affirmation then.
Susie, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that particular question?
Well, definitely some other surprises and stresses we had living in a bush rural area. And otherwise, no educational facilities for our girls. The local Maasai school was not appropriate. They didn't know Maasai well enough to attend. And when they were little, we weren't inclined to send them off to boarding school when they were just very small. So we opted to homeschool. And I used to think, well, I'm a really educated person. I've gone to school a number of years, but I don't know squat on how to teach a child to read. So it was definitely challenging, trying to choose curriculum, trying to be a teacher, and then also carry out activities of living in the bush and dealing with the community and working in the clinics and the other activities that we had there.
I thought maybe we could move on, Dave, to talking about the migraines and begin to look at that whole situation.
I'd had migraine headaches since I was a kid. They started at the age of 14, and had some concerns as I went along, you know, how I was going to do going off to college, things like that. But really felt like scripture came alive in the sense that I felt God's presence and strength in my times of weakness, and definitely migraines were a test of that. Did okay in college. Basically had one headache a month, no matter where I lived. So once we came to the point of getting ready for overseas service and that question came up, you know, I'd already had a track record of, service despite the migraine headaches that, you know, they could knock me out for 3 days at a time when they came. So they were manageable in that sense, just being one a month, starting out all the time that we were in the bush, about 7 years. That's what I faced, and just had to accept things and not take on too ambitious an effort, such as some of the teammates would like to climb a mountain. I would have to pass on that, knowing that that would be putting me at risk of a headache. And anyway, so it was just part of the reality of life that I've had, you know, since the age of 14. It really only got dangerous or treacherous and snuck up on us when we lived in the capital. And looking back on it, I think it was the pollution in Nairobi that started the headaches on a trend of occurring more and more frequently. And that's where I got into trouble, because then the medicines that I was taking that had been safe once a month weren't as safe to use more frequently, say once a week or more. And then that led onto the road of addiction.
You were living in the capital at the time and caused the migraines to be worse. You were creating a dependency on the medication. Was this so gradual that you didn't really begin to notice that the dependency and the addiction was occurring?
Yes, it was definitely a gradual process. In fact, it brings up the analogy of the frog and the pot of water on the stove, you know, not realizing as it's heating up just how dangerous that is, because it's a gradual process. And that was exactly my experience living in Nairobi, because the headaches escalated, happening more and more frequently over a period of years, really. And then that's what gradually led more and more use. What I've come to learn just that any kind of pain medicine, particularly narcotics, if they're used at low levels, can be safe. But as they're used more frequently, then they can pass a threshold, if you will, and end up putting someone in addiction where no longer having clear judgment on what's safe or what's reasonable amount of medicine. At one point, it just seemed like, well, medicine's the answer, to kill the pain. After having the headaches for 30 years, too, there was just that sense that, well, not sure why it didn't occur to me before, but, if a little bit's good, more will be better. And that's when pass a threshold at some point. We realize that alcohol or drugs impair judgment. And I believe that's what happens, in addiction. We lose our better judgment.
Susie, any thoughts on that from the medical perspective, I guess?
Well, people have asked, so what started the addiction process? And definitely Dave suffered from migraine headaches for several decades. And then, we lived in the bush for 7 years and then moved into the capital city as a work move, also for our girls' education purposes. But not realizing the yard waste that was burned, the diesel fumes, the pollution of the city was definitely a trigger for more migraine headaches. And also at the time, there were other stresses as well. Dave agreed to be the field business administrator, and I was still the physician overseeing the clinic. So we, at that point, really did have two full-time jobs that we were trying to manage, and that was very stressful. And Dave's dad was sick and ill and actually passed away while we were on the field, and there was a lot of grief with that process. And so a lot of different stressors and outside forces making the migraine headaches then escalate. And like Dave said, what medicine was fine to use once a month, well, then when the migraines went to twice a month, three times a month, every week, twice a week, that same amount of medicine every week then built up physiologic tolerance, which then meant that he had to use more medication to get the same effect. And in Kenya, we had access to medications as a white face. You can go into any pharmacy and ask for anything about. Mm-hmm. And so he had the ability to go into a pharmacy and request narcotics and otherwise what would have been prescription drugs, and was able to acquire those and treat himself. So the process and the cycle of self-treatment and using increasing amounts, it just snowballed and eventually was totally out of control, then led to addiction, which in full spectrum was there in every aspect.
David and Susie Snyder have been our guests today. I'd like to thank David and Susie for their openness in sharing with us. On our next time, we'll begin to learn how David's addiction was discovered and the steps their organization, CMF, took to help David recover from the addiction to pain medication. For Scott and all of our staff at Member Care Media, I'm Ted Siemens, thanking you for joining us today.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.